It's on.
Great. Yes. Okay. So which one's going to be the first interview, Barbara?
This is Arthur, who's going to say be interview yeah. one. So Arthur, do you want to go ahead?
The other one's got to mute.
Can everyone else unmute, mute themselves, please?
Yeah,
are you ready, Arthur? Go ahead.
Thank you for turning up to the show. I have an impressive lineup for you consisting of James Turner, Mary Walker, and our special guest, Missy Lee, all the way from China. James has been to places such as Cincinnati, Rio de Janeiro, and Kozlanka. And now he has written a best-selling autobiography about his life, then knocking up and down. As he puts it, he is here to tell us just a little about that and how his book almost never made it to the printers. Please welcome James Turner. Hello, James.
Hello to you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Now, James, a night in a police cell and leaving Oxford before they sent you down, not a very efficient start.
No, well, the night of internment was nothing, really. Boat race night, you know. Oxford prevailed, and the order of the day was a Bobby's helmet at all costs. I got the helmet, but unfortunately they got me. Fined £5. Academically, I was a poor student, a bit too gung-ho. I preferred to learn on my feet, hands-on, so to speak.
What happened next?
Oh, I packed a bag, said my goodbyes, and got a job on a steamer bound for New York. And after what seemed like 100 jobs, I landed one with International Oil as an office boy and worked my way up to personal assistant to one of the top executives. This enabled me to travel to some pretty outlandish places, drilling for oil. There were some hairy moments here and there. Some of the local lads took exception to us being there in their backyard. Anyhow, after a few years of that, I got itchy feet. I'd heard a lot of talk among the old hands about gold in some of the places we had worked. So I thought, well, why not? Grab a few bags of the yellow stuff and I'd be made for life. Well, let me tell you, prospecting is not all it's made out to be. It's hard, miserable, and a dangerous existence.
Did you find any gold?
Oh, enough about to pay my way. But gold's a funny thing. It drives you crazy. The big pay dirt is always somewhere just ahead. Only when you get to where you think it is, it's moved on again. And if you do hit the bonanza, there are 100 men waiting to steal it from you, kill you if needs be.
Where did most of the prospecting take place then?
South America seemed a good place. The Incas had tons of the stuff, you know. They even used it to make drain pipes. Trouble is, it's a hell of a place to travel in. So I hired a seagoing boat, 36-footer. Bit basic, but good enough for the job. Now, when I was with International Oil, I met a young chap, Timothy Steddings. He had worked for a mining company and was very knowledgeable when it came to mining. Very misleading young fellow. Awfully quiet and shy until the chips were down. And I might tell you they were down on more than one occasion. Anyhow, he was also fed up with his job. So I talked him into coming on the big adventure with me. We rigged out the boat with everything we could think of and set sail for the Americas. We went down the channel through the Bay of Biscay, stopping only at the Canaries for fresh food and water, and then straight through to Pernambuco. We then worked our way down the coast, making forays up the small rivers when we came across them, panning for gold.
Did you find Jenny?
Oh, yes, but not much.
Were you troubled by natives?
Not really. You could see them flitting around sometimes, but we were armed. And I found the best thing to do was to let a couple of shots off into the trees. That made them have second thoughts about trying anything. Except there was one time when we had to moor in a river. We normally anchored offshore, but that night the sea was very rough and we were surrounded by sandbanks. It was a good thing I remembered something I read in Joshua Slocum's great book, Sailing Alone Around the World, when stocking up for the voyage. So I included a bag of carpet tacks in the stores. On going to bed, we scattered them around the deck. Good thing natives don't wear shoes. At about 3 a.m, there was a lot of howling and hopping up and down on the decks. The blighters had come silently and crept aboard.
What happened next?
I threw open the forward hatch and let them have both barrels of my old elephant gun straight up into the night sky. The result was instantaneous. They all dived over the edge as one and made for the shore, leaving us with 3 very good dugout canoes. We hauled one up on deck next morning as it might have come in useful. The upshot of that was that we felt we had pushed our luck as far as it would go. We had a bit of gold to keep us going for a while, so we headed back to Rio, stopped the boat, and back to England.
But you were not ready to settle down.
Good Lord, no. I went back to the lakes for a while and stayed with Molly, but it wasn't long before the old feet started to itch again, and I tried my hand at big game hunting.
Big game in Africa?
Yes. It was the latest craze of the bored rich. They had nothing better to do than have their picture taken standing on a dead elephant, grinning their silly heads off. I wasn't very enamoured with it, but I figured that if I wasn't doing it, someone else would. Besides, I did my best to see that they killed as little as possible by turning up where the beasts had gone. They put it down to my incompetence.
Did you shoot anything yourself?
Only once, near Zavo. A lioness. It was her or me, I'm afraid to say. I was the intended main course for dinner that night. It wasn't a great job, but I met a lot of nice people over there, and the sunsets over the Serengeti have to be seen to be believed. I gave that a couple of years, then I chucked it and started on archaeology.
Archaeology? That was rather a change of direction, wasn't it?
Well, whichever way the wind blew, I went with it. Carnarvon had just discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun, and the world went wild. Everything went Egyptian, including me. I read every book I could find on the subject and joined in the digging. Got well paid for it too. But my God, it was hot. Karnak must be one of the hottest places on earth, not counting Alice Springs, but that's another story. Did I find any artifacts? Not really, just one or two bits and pieces that now hang in my houseboat that I keep on the lake.
Yeah, the houseboat. That's where you wrote your autobiography, Mixed Moss by Rolling Stone.
That's right, it was. It took me a whole year or more, and I can honestly say it was the toughest job I have ever undertaken. Plus the fact that my 2 young nieces wouldn't leave me alone for one moment. The trouble was that the summer before I bought them a sailing dinghy, which we named Amazon, mainly because I said they were like the legendary young Amazons of South America. But much fiercer. In revenge for me ignoring them, they tried to blow up my boat with a large firework. And unfortunately, I came to completely the wrong conclusion and blamed another set of children who were camping nearby. Shortly after that, I had to go to London on business, And while I was away, some villains broke into the houseboat, smashed it up, and took away my trunk that had been with me on most of my travels. My manuscript was in it, together with all my diaries. Well, that was it. I was ready to give the whole thing up and concentrate on having some fun. I had made up with my nieces and became friends with the Walker children. And one day we all went whaling, fishing actually, except Titty and Roger. Titty, bless her heart, was convinced my treasure, she called it, was buried on a small island nearby. And blow me down, it was. The burglars couldn't get it open and were coming back later. I left them a note saying, honesty is the best policy. Let's hope they took notice.
And this is where we came in. Your book was published and is already into a fourth edition in just a year and a half.
Yes, and I've been very lucky one way or another. And I have said many times, never again. But you know, these old feet of mine are beginning to itch once more. But I've had so much fun with those young ones that perhaps I might put pen to paper again and write another book. In fact, there are enough stories to fill several books, and I hardly need leave the old houseboat. I've come to realize that home is where the heart is. So I think I might let my fingers do the traveling and give my poor feet a rest from now on. Now, I'm sure you've heard enough of my ramblings, and thank you all for being so very patient.
Not at all. It has been fascinating. My thanks to James Turner for giving us all just a glimpse of what his book is all about. And I'm sure that anyone reading it will look forward to his next book, which sounds as if it will be a subject much nearer to home. Well, there you have it. A brief insight into Jane Turner's amazing life up to now. At any rate, and if you want to know more, then I suggest you buy his book, Mixed Moss by Rolling Stone. It really is a very good read.
Thank you very much to Arthur and to Paul. Our next Sparkinson is Susan, who will be interviewing Mary Walker, read by Lindy Castell. Thank you both.
Thank you. Further to and following on from the book came another set of adventures that also involved my other guests in some way or another. My second guest is one of those people who always seem to be in the background and yet are essential to any plan or expedition. Please welcome the mother of the children who rescued the original Mixed Moss manuscript, which James described as the hardest thing he'd ever done, and put the best of his life into it, Mrs. Mary Walker. Mrs. Walker, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Now, before I ask you about your involvement in these tales of adventure, tell us all a little about yourself.
Well, Waltzing Matilda will have given you a good clue. Although I was born in the south of England, Redhill actually, and when my parents were alive, we spent a lot of time in the lakes, staying at farms. That is why we were holidaying there when all this started. But when I was about 15, tragedy struck. I lost both my parents to diphtheria in a matter of weeks. It was a terrible time, and my aunt and uncle, Beth and Bob, were my nearest living relatives, and they lived in Sydney, Australia.
How terrible. What became of you after that?
I was taken into care for a while until my wonderful Aunt Beth came all the way from Australia by boat to take me to their home near Sydney Harbour. And I spent 3 wonderful years there and discovered that I had a pack of distant cousins that I didn't know existed. We had a wonderful time together. They taught me to sail, and I just loved it. We sailed in the harbour. When I think of it, I took an awful lot of risks, always thought I knew best. One day, I capsized my cousin's boat entirely due to my stubborn insistence that I was right. I'm sure the wind that day was in a bad temper. Still, I think these experiences made me a better person. Well, I hope so anyway.
It says here that you spent time on a sheep farm.
Yes, I spent every long summer holiday on one not far from Sydney. It is nothing like our Lakeland sheep farms. There were miles and miles of land, and you needed a horse to get around it all. I just loved it, but it could be dangerous. You could easily get lost. Lucky for me, my horse knew the way home. He took good care of me. The bush creatures were fascinating, kangaroos and opossums. The snakes could be very dangerous, though.
Then you were 18 and your life changed again.
Yes. The British fleet entered Sydney Harbour for a goodwill tour and there were great celebrations, one of which was a grand ball for all the British officers. Uncle Bob worked at the shipyards and he wangled me a ticket. It was supposed to be only for the dignitaries and their families. It was a wonderful ball and I had a new dress specially for the occasion.
And this is where you met your husband-to-be?
I had been asked to dance a couple of times, and I was just standing watching the dancing when somebody said, I would very much like to have the next dance with you. May I? I turned round, and there was this tall, slim young man with a very tanned face and startling blue eyes, all crinkly in the corners as he smiled at me. We had the next dance, of course, and the next and the next. In fact, I did not leave his side for the rest of the evening. Yes, I think I can say that I was swept off my feet. 10 days later, we were married by the ship's padre, just 2 days before his ship sailed, and 2 months later, I was in Portsmouth, England, to begin my married life. Ted was only a sub-lieutenant then, and we lived in naval quarters. That was 25 years ago. Ted's a captain now, and we have a large house in Falmouth. There are 7 of us now when Ted's home on leave. Not counting Polly the parrot and Sinbad the cat. There is also Jibber the monkey, but he's in a zoo, thank goodness.
That is a really amazing story, and I don't want to leave it. But can I come to the holiday that began the whole saga?
Yes, we had travelled up from the south by train to stay at Hollyhoe, where I had stayed as a child. As soon as the children saw the island, they wanted to sail off and camp on it. John and Susan had done a lot of sailing, but Ted is the captain, so I wrote to ask him what he thought. Typical Ted. He sent this telegram. Better drown than duffers. If not, duffers won't drown. Basically, it meant yes. So off they went and soon met up with 2 girls who also had a boat and started to have lots of adventures, one of which was capturing each other's boat. My lot had Swallow and the 2 girls had Amazon. To cut the story short, Titty, my 3rd eldest, captured Amazon in the middle of the night. And while she had the boat anchored, heard 2 men burying what she thought was treasure. Titty has a marvellous imagination. In reality, it turned out to be James Turner's trunk stolen from his houseboat and, more importantly, the manuscript for his book.
And so began this friendship between your children, James, and the 2 local children who turned out to be his nieces, the daughters of his sister, Mrs. Molly Blackett.
Yes, and he has been very generous in return over the next few years. He paid to repair Swallow when she was damaged and took them all on a world cruise which almost ended in disaster, which I think you're going to hear about a little later. Next summer, there are great plans to sail around the Western Isles of Scotland, but I shall have to consult Ted about it.
Now, you have never actually been involved in any adventures apart from supplying food and comfort to the adventurers.
No, I had to look after Bridget, who was very young at the time. And I have had to sit and suffer, especially when they were with Jim Brading on the Goblin sailing on the Orwell, or so I thought, when in fact they were out to sea, although it was not really their fault. But if I had known what was really happening, well, I dread to think of it. Then another time they were camping at Harnford Water in Suffolk, and this time Bridget went with them. The idea was to survey and map the area, but the Blackett girls turned up, and they also teamed up with another group, and the whole thing turned into an unholy war. In spite of all that, they did manage to get the surveying done, and all returned unharmed, thank goodness.
It would seem that although your children are well brought up and well behaved, they appear to get in the most awful scrapes. Why do you think this is?
I don't really know. It seems to just happen. Things start out all perfectly as planned, then things start to go wrong. It is almost as if someone is controlling events and making things happen. Still, the main thing is that all ends well. There were other holidays when neither Ted nor I were there, when perfectly normal holidays turned into pretty unusual ones.
For instance?
Well, it was winter time, and poor Ted had been away since Bridget was born, so I just had to go to Malta, where he was stationed, so that he could get a peep at her. So what better time to send the rest of them up to Hollyhoe for the winter holidays? Little did I know that it would turn into a polar expedition with all the dangers that can entail. The lake froze over, and some of their friends got lost in a blizzard, and my lot went out after them. Everybody ended up at what they called the North Pole, and there was Ted, Bridget and me in sunny Malta, completely oblivious to what was going on. Then there was the gold mining.
Gold mining?
Evidently James here and his friend Timothy Steading were in South America prospecting for gold or something. I was at home with Bridget, who had a very bad case of whooping cough, so my lot had to stay with Mrs. Blackett until I could join them, owing to the fact that the Jacksons at Hollyhoe already had visitors. The Blackett girls had this great idea that they could find gold much nearer to home. In fact, on high tops above Beckford, their family home. They knew this old chap, Slater Bob, who spun them a yarn about gold in the hills. So off they went, all eight of them. The Callum children were also with them. Did I not mention them? Dick and Dorothea. Dick is very scientific, Dorothea very dreamy, but they are very nice children. Anyway, they had a tremendous time. There was a severe drought and they had no water on high tops, but they divined for it. Titty was the only one who could do it. She seems to have these gifts and found the water just where they wanted to camp. They spent a long time prospecting for this gold without success. And then, quite by accident, Roger found it, or rather what they thought was gold. He was messing about, as Roger does, and he tumbled into a small ravine and found an old working. He spotted a crack in the rock, banged at it, and a larger piece fell off, and there was the gold. Only it was copper.
Copper?
Yes, they crushed some, panned it, and smelted it, hoping to have a small ingot to show James on his return. And that is when everything went horribly wrong. I have to confess that I know nothing about mining and smelting.
That's what went wrong.
Well, as I said, it was copper, not gold, and after hours of smelting, the sample disappeared. Evidently, gold can only be dissolved in something called aqua regia. Dick knew this and went off to Beckford to experiment in James's study. At this point, James arrived home from South America to find Dick in his study saying they had found gold and it must be gold because it had dissolved in aqua regia. The problem was that almost anything will dissolve in this stuff, proving nothing. Anyway, James had a look at the samples and pronounced it to be copper, which is what he really wanted. Gold drives men crazy and is best left alone, he said. Then a most serious thing happened. Fell fire.
Fire? Was it all that smelting? Did the children start it?
No, but they initially got the blame and were fighting it when James arrived with Dick, swiftly followed by Colonel Jolly's and his band of firefighters. And after a long battle, it was out. The only casualty was Roger, who burnt his hands slightly. Mind you, there was a lot that went on that I know nothing about, which is just as well. Grown-ups are known as natives to these children of mine, and evidently we are not to be trusted. So that is about as much as I can tell you.
Well, I could go on listening for hours, but unfortunately we do not have the time. My thanks to Mrs. Mary Walker for telling us about her early life and the exploits of her imaginative and adventurous children. And may things continue to go well for all of you. Thank you.
Well done, you two.
Thank you.
Are you happy to be interviewer three, Susan? Otherwise, Elizabeth might like to have a go.
Would you like to have a go, Elizabeth? Oh, muted, sorry.
Unmute. You're muted, Liz.
Elizabeth, can you I'll ask to unmute.
Who is the character?
All right.
I think I'm unmuted.
Yes.
I don't have the script in front of me for Sparkington 3, so if you've got it, Susan, then fire away.
Okay, fine. Right then.
Okay, well, Susan will be interviewer three, and as Nora's not here, I'm going to be Missy Lee. Yes, I shan't be doing the accent, I'm afraid. Anyway, enjoy.
My last guest is somebody who is a strange composition of the highest classical education, mixed and fermented with an occupation that in Britain last flourished more than 300 years ago. Piracy, or, as I am bound to be corrected, protection of shipping. From somewhere off the coast of China, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the undisputed queen of her profession, Miss Lee. Miss Lee, welcome to England. I believe that this is not your first visit.
No, I come here as a young girl to school, Great Marlow, and to study at Cambridge, classical Latin. Now I'm back to visit old university and perhaps see boat race. Of course, Cambridge will win. Oxford, very poor rowing, very poor degree, very good marmalade.
Maybe talk about your part in the extraordinary saga when the boat called the Wildcat caught fire. And James here and the children had to take to the lifeboats. Consequently, James and the Blackett girls were picked up by a junk belonging to one of your tycoons, Chang, while the Walkers landed but were also captured by Chang's men.
Yes, indeed. First I hear of it, my armour tells me sleepers at Temple on Island, and I saw my Latin book with English writing. Then I hear that more people with Chang and he plan to ransom. So I signal to Chang, bring all these people. I want to meet these English who know Latin.
And what happened when you met them?
First, I see this gentleman, Mr. Turner. Big disappointment. No Latin, not even Cambridge. Then I see the children. I ask them, do you know where you are on the map? Prisoners who know where we are on map go back, tell where three islands are. Gunboats come. So if they know...
You wouldn't have chopped the children's heads off, would you? Surely, Miss Lee.
My father made rule in Three Islands. No English prisoners, because English make trouble with gunboats. But these children might be fulfillment of my dream. Latin. Ah, Latin. I love it so. Virgil, Ovid, and I want to teach it.
Why didn't you stay in England and teach Latin there?
I loved my days at Cambridge and had great sorrow when I was called back by my father. He, great man, head of all islands. He knew he was dying and wanted me to take his place.
great responsibility for me keeping three islands from fighting between themselves, so no more Cambridge. Then, when I see these children, I see whole class of students to teach forever, classical Latin.
So you intended to keep them forever and teach them Latin?
Yes. I negotiate with Chang. He is small tycoon, Tengong only. I am head of three islands, 22 Gong tycoon, and I say to him, I keep children here forever, so no gunboats.
And James here?
Chang kept Mr. Turner because he is very rich. Lord Mayor of San Francisco, he will ask for ransom. Later, Chang discover not rich, wants to chop head, and the children, my Latin class, say they cannot work if Mr. Turner in prison, so I buy him from Chang.
So, you started to teach your class. What happened next?
I had some moments of disappointment, big moments. Still, Roger, very good student, rest not very good, but plenty of time to improve. Mr. Turner, Oxford education, no good at Latin.
So, you must have had a difficult time with your students, except Roger.
In fact, no. After a few days, suddenly they become model students, learned very hard, very good, all of them. I think to myself, so, why have they changed? But I know they cannot get away, and I am happy.
I gather that you gave your model students a treat.
Ah, yes, the little dragon. Three Islands Dragon Festival happening quite soon, and I decide to give my good students their own dragon for festival, reward for hard work. Also, I gave them holiday expedition in my junk Shining Moon to the island of my father's temple.
That must have been a nice break for all of you.
Yes, but bad outcome. On way home from Ireland, I visit Tycoon Wu with my students. Wu is old seaman and sees that Mr. Cap Turner carries a sextant collected from the children's possessions on the island. Wu knew that with sextant, Mr. Turner could locate three islands for gunboats.
What happened next?
Things very bad. Chang and Wu very unhappy. Chang sent back the money that I paid for Mr. Turner, so he is now Chang's prisoner, not mine. Chang free to kill him. Chang and Wu want to kill all my students. So I think hard, very hard, what to do.
I think it was a difficult decision for you, Miss Lee.
Yes, yes, so hard. Well, I cannot let my model students be killed, even Mr. Turner here, and I cannot let Three Islands fight again. I think of my father. My way is clear. No more Cambridge, no more Latin classes. I am Missy Lee, 22 Gong tycoon of Three Islands.
And I know, because all the children are all safe here safely, as is James, you found a way for them to escape.
I trusted my students not to reveal to the British Navy where Three Islands are. I thought, how to let them escape from Chang and Wu's men who are watching. Then I remembered, dragon feast soon, and children had been repairing old dragon to take part in parade. What better than to slip out in dragon costume? Everybody having good time. No one noticed little dragon dancing through streets down to water late at night.
And then you needed to get them off the island and away.
Yes. So I sacrificed my beautiful little junk, Shining Moon, for my students, my friends. They can reach England in her, no problem.
You were a very good friend to them, Miss Lee, sacrificing Shining Moon.
You know, I like to think of my Shining Moon making journey to England. But England, Cambridge... Oh, very, very hard to turn back on my Cambridge dream. I have to remind myself that I am Chinese Lady Pirate, as Nancy says. Famous through eastern seas. Everybody afraid. With good reason.
So the model students join the Dragon Festival and slip down to Shining Moon and set sail. That wasn't the end of the story, I think.
No, indeed. They were missed quite soon, and Chang and Wu put the log boom across the river to stop them. So they thought of the gorge.
The gorge? Was that a way out?
But very difficult, full of rocks and swift currents, even in daytime. And now it is dark, dark. But they try, very brave. Mr. Turner show what he is worth, and I know they cannot, so I take the tiller.
You are on board, but surely...
Yes, in moment of weakness I forget my responsibilities. I want to be in Cambridge once again, so I hid in cabin to go with them. But then the gorge time comes, so I show myself and take Shining Moon through. Then, when in open sea, we are becalmed. Chasing junks get near enough to fire cannons, so I raise my dragon flag and they stop. Then I see there is fighting in Dragon Town. Chang and Wu are fighting to see who will be 22 Gong Tycoon. My path of duty now became clear. No more Cambridge. I say goodbye to my students and go back to my rightful place as head of Three Islands.
And that you did. And now you're back here for a short holiday.
Yes, and I have been very happy to meet all my students again. All growing up, all doing very well. Though Mr. Turner here growing out, not up. But I am very happy to meet him again too. Good sailor, bad university.
Well, I have to say that you have told us a truly amazing story. You know, it would make a very good book. Perhaps James here could write one as a follow-up to his autobiography. I would like to thank my guests for coming onto the show and giving us a thoroughly interesting account of the quite extraordinary events that have touched their lives. I would also like to thank all our listeners for joining us. So, until next time, it's goodbye from James Turner, Mrs. Mary Walker, and the quite amazing Miss Lee. And of course myself, goodbye to you all.
That was brilliant. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Oh, good.
That's free.
Oh, it was very, it's really good.
Yeah, you can all unmute now if anyone's got any comments or there are three more interviews available, which we could do another time. Do you think that's something you'd like?
Yes, I love that. It really gets you, makes it real, doesn't it?
Yes. Right, we'll
no, not no, no, not Tommy Jolly's again.
Yes.
Did you rehearse? Sorry. Did you rehearse?
No. No. Well, I read mine through, but
yeah, we didn't rehearse together. We just read them.
It was very good. I read mine once. I loved the Missy Lee. I thought that was beautifully done.
Mm. Yes, well done.
All well done.
Yeah. Well done, Barbara.
Well, thank you to all. So,
who are the other three?
Molly Blackett, Colonel Jolly's, and Maria Turner, the great aunt.
Yeah.
But I thought the three we had today sort of went together better than some of the others. So that's how I did it.
Ideally, you need a pianist for the great aunt so she can play the chaminade.
Any volunteers?
That would be good.
Anyone play the piano?
I've got a piano, but only for my own entertainment.
So who's going to come and help me man the stand for Sail, Swallow and Amazon at the Southampton Boat Show?
Ooh, when's that?
The 15th to the 24th of September this year.
Oh, that's fun.
No, you're not. You can't do
Sounds
it.
Great.
Yeah, it will be great. Sophie's, I'm going to send out an email to the local